In this episode, I talk about the power of narration. It's a technique I use to build confidence, gain clarity, minimize fear, and help stay in the moment. So here we go, episode 243, narration. Hi, I'm Karen Rolfe, and welcome to Horse Training in Harmony. This podcast is about you making progress with your horse in a way that you both can love. It's about learning how to move and be in harmony. Because yes, you really can develop a horse to be both athletic and happy. When we show up as our best selves for our horses will show up for us. So, let's get started. The connection and communication between horse and human is usually thought of as a silent one. It's mostly about intention, thought, energy, and body language. But there are some reasons why I think talking when we're with our horses can actually be helpful. I mean, humans are quite talkative animals anyway, and we often have overactively thinking minds, and we need ways to manage and channel that. We're often thinking thoughts about the past and the future instead of what's happening now, and at the same time, we can forget to breathe. So speaking with a purpose can actually help with all of this. Now, I'm not saying that a constant meaningless chatter would be a good thing. I mean, horses, just like people, we'll tend to tune that out after a while. And then it makes it harder to realize when something important is being said if you're always just talking, talking, talking. And I don't think we want to ever do things that cause our horses to tune us out. I'm also not going to be talking about voice cues either. I mean, I love using voice cues. I use them in many different circumstances, and they can be really, really helpful. But the kind of talking that I've found extremely helpful in many occasions, and what I want to talk about here, is what I call narration. And that's when I, or the rider, is describing what you're doing at the same time that you're doing it. Now, as a teacher and someone who does demonstrations of techniques when I'm riding or on the ground, I've done this a lot. And it's almost like there's a part of my mind that can observe what I'm doing and describe what I'm doing, even as I'm doing it. And of course, that's easiest to do with things that are second nature, that I'm really confident about, and that don't require a lot of brain power to do. So it's easier to practice narrating when you're super confident about what you're doing. But I've noticed something really interesting. And the reverse can be true also. So I found you can actually become more confident by narrating. I don't know if that's considered the reverse or reciprocal or anyway, you know what I mean. So here are some circumstances where I'll choose to use this technique of narration. If there's a student who has the skill, like, I know they have the skill, but they're somehow unconfident to apply it. They're stuck somehow. And this is often because maybe of self-doubt, self-criticism, maybe they would call it perfectionism. Something is blocking them from doing what I know that they're capable of doing. Another circumstance would be when there's fear, but not danger. All right, so sometimes when there's fear, there's a reason, because there's some danger around, and I don't want to describe a technique to help with fear and have someone use that instead of recognizing that they're actually in a dangerous situation and they need to get out of that situation. But I think we all can, you know that there's moments where we're feeling fear, but we're actually not in danger, or we could at least logically look at it and go, okay, I mean, horses are always dangerous, so, you know, there's that. But we can feel a fear that we can be aware that we're feeling fear, but we can also logically look at what's happening and going, but I don't think I'm actually in danger. I'm just feeling fear. And that kind of awareness is already pretty advanced and helpful. Anyway, I digress. So another circumstance where I'll choose to use the technique of narration, if there's distraction, right? If the horse is distracted, but for sure if the rider is distracted. So sometimes we're distracted by stuff going on in the external environment. We humans can be distracted by thinking about what we need to do later or what just happened. We just came from work and we're still, you know, going over spreadsheets in the brain. And yeah, we're not thinking about what's going on right now. And so I'll use narration in all those cases, because in all of those cases, actually, the mind is focused on something other than the present moment in front of them, right? So a student who's unconfident and not able to do what they know that they can do, it's the mind's focused on doubt about, you know, the future. Are they going to be able to do it? You know, maybe they tried something and were highly criticized or, you know, humiliated by it. So they're thinking about the past. They're worried that they might make a mistake or it might be wrong. So something is blocking because the mind is not focused on the present moment. You know, like I said, with a fear, there could be a trauma from a past bad, you know, accident with a horse or something that happened where they got hurt. You know, so it's like that past is bringing that fear forward. Or there's an anxiety about the future, like what might happen, right? I'm afraid that what might go wrong, because our human imaginations like to do stuff like that. Our brains are not always our friend. They're always trying to protect us, but they're not always our friend. Anyway, and, you know, if there's distraction, like I said, you're focused, your mind is thinking about something over there, something that happened before, or something that needs to happen later. So narration in all these cases will cause the mind to be more here now, or at least in a much nearer future instead of the distant future. Narration also will cause better breathing. It's much harder to hold your breath while you're talking out loud. And another nice thing about narration, or helpful thing, is you can immediately detect when you're unclear, when you're frozen. You can detect your emotional state because you can actually hear your own voice, right? And if you're paying attention, you can get a lot of information from the tone of your voice or the words that you're choosing, or when there's the blank spot. Like, wait, what are we doing? I don't know what I'm doing. Well, that might be a good time to stop and think about what you're wanting to do. I love using narration as a teacher because I get to hear my students' voices and I can really quickly hear whether they're getting frustrated, whether they're unsure, whether they're afraid. Right? So you can really tap into the emotional tone. And that's just great information to have. Okay. And so examples of when and how I'll use narration. And again, this is not just, I'll talk about students and using it in a student situation, but this is something I use all the time for myself. I do love to talk to my horses. And I find it helps me be really clear. It helps me remember what I'm doing and not be distracted. So if you think you might get distracted, this is a great technique to use. Anyway, okay, so let's say there's the unconfident student who knows the skills, but gets tied up in perfectionism or self-doubt, or there's some reason why it's not doing it. Now that person may be you, right? So are there things that you do where you're like, I know how to do this, but somehow you just get tangled up in yourself, or you aren't confident, or you're just not going forward for it, or you're tentative, or you always feel like you're not quite, you're kind of doing it, but not, not quite all the way, and you're left feeling like you're not sure if you did it or not, or you're not sure if you got the result or not. So I will ask that person to pretend that they're a teacher doing a demo and narrating what they're doing. Now, at first, this can seem scary. It's like, hey, they already were filled with self-doubt. Now you just put them on an imaginary stage. But you can customize it. Like, this is just play. So make it work for you. So with one student, I might say, and depending on what they're doing, I might say, hey, pretend you're the teacher or the trainer, and this is a pony that belongs to a 7-year-old, and she's having trouble with this. And so you get on the pony and you're demonstrating and helping. You're not only helping to train the pony, but you're helping to demonstrate to the 7-year-old exactly how to do it. And so you're going to automatically make it basic, find ways to, you know, how would you teach a 7-year-old? You'd try to be really tactful and make a really small piece and make it really obvious and be super quick to show, like, there, did you see that? Did you see when the pony did that? You know, or if it's not working, and like, let's say the little pony is not doing what you want it to do, you can go, you see, I'm putting my leg on and then the pony's doing this. And so that's why we have to follow through. And that's why we have to keep going to make sure the pony understands. And I'm really making sure I keep my body over here in this place. And I put this aid on it. Oh, look, there she got it. Did you see that? Okay, let me demonstrate it again. And I'll tell you exactly how it's happening. Not yet, not yet. Oh, there, did you see that step? Okay, I'm going to do it again. Watch. Because I'm going to shift my weight and I want you to really watch that left hind leg and just watch for when it steps over there. Did you see it? You know, so that's the kind of idea. And so you might tell the student, like, find a scenario where they could be confident narrating. So a little pony with a 7-year-old. Or I've done the other end of the spectrum and I've said, okay, pretend you are a 5-time Olympic champion from, and I'll pick some foreign country, you know, from the UK, and you are expert at exactly this. You know, your expertise is helping horses who don't know how to do fill in the blank, and you're going to help them, and you're such a good explainer, and you're really good at explaining what's happening so people can understand it. And so then you put on an accent and it's like, oh, clearly the horse has not understood this yet. So I'm going to put my leg here and I'm going to make sure that my weight is over here and notice how I caught myself dropping the shoulder. And you don't want to do that. You want to make sure you're sitting up very properly. And I'm going to add my aid. And if the aid doesn't work, I might tap my boot with the stick very clearly. And I'm looking for that horse to step over. And there, did you see it step over? That was quite nice indeed. Okay, whatever it takes. Right, so hopefully now we've diffused the critical part of it, right? Because now we're being ridiculous. And, you know, you can do this out in your yard with nobody listening and be as ridiculous as possible. But again, like, impersonate someone. Maybe you know somebody. Maybe you've watched my videos and you could just say, pretend to be me. What would Karen do? Right? So, like, just be an actor if you need to. And yeah, and you narrate the good, the bad, the ugly. So again, this is not a demonstration of perfection. It's, you know, you don't approach this thing and now I shall do the perfect demonstration of the perfect use of aids and I will get a perfect result. Don't do that. Like, that's probably not going to help. But you're going to say, I shall now demonstrate what it looks like to start this exercise and go through the first steps where it clearly is not working at all. And even if you're narrating and like, you see how the horse is flipping its head up and down and it's running through that left shoulder and you see how contorted I get? Like, you really want to watch for that because this can easily happen. And we want to, you know, we want to just, whatever it is, right? So the point is to have fun with it. And I hope I get emails from you guys with really funny stories about you playing with this. Or better yet, go to the show notes and look for the link where you can leave a voice message, and you can leave a short voice message and just give me the short story of how this went. Anyway, that's what that looks like. Okay, so now for the more fearful student, again, not in danger, but feeling fear, it's really important to have this person, which could be you, and it has been me, to narrate exactly what you're doing. And depending on how sort of frozen the person is, you can either just narrate exactly what you're feeling, or you can narrate what you're about to do. And often I will gravitate towards narrating what I'm about to do, or I'll ask the person, because it helps that person have a really clear plan. And it helps me know what they're thinking of. And probably most importantly, it helps them tell the horse what to do. Because when you're in fear, it's so easy to become frozen, like your brain locks down, and then you're not giving directions to the horse. And then some horses just tootle along and they're fine. But some horses start picking up on that and they start going, uh-oh, I don't know what to do. And now this is making me nervous. And then the fearful student feels the nervousness. And then, uh-oh, they're more nervous and they're more frozen. And then, uh-oh, the horse feels that and they're even more lost. And you see where this is going. So having a plan and just narrating the next 10, 15 meters in front of you. And this will, you know, as a teacher, I know what they're thinking. But even if you're doing it all by yourself, it keeps you thinking one step ahead, keeps you having a plan, and it keeps you noticing if you don't have a plan and you don't know what to do, that would be a good time to stop. So speaking this out loud will keep this rider breathing, right? Because you have to speak. You're not going to be holding your breath. This is all going to help you be in the present moment, because in order to know what you're about to do, you have to know where you are, and you're making decisions based on how you feel and how the horse feels. All right. So what that might sound like is, okay, you're standing there with the horse, hopefully still breathing, and you're going to say, okay, I'm going to ask for a transition to the walk, and I'm going to go to the rail, and I'm going to go track right. And so you do that and you go, great. Thank you. That's awesome. That's a nice walk. When I get to the corner, I'm actually going to halt and just stand for two breaths, and then I'm going to walk forward and make kind of a square turn onto the short side. Great. Okay. Thank you, horse. Oh, I need to ask you to halt straighter. Great. And then turn the corner. All right. And that feels good. So when I get to the middle of the short side, I'm going to ask for the trot, and I'm going to go deep into the corner and then go down the long side. Okay, great. Oh, and you know, that trot feels a little bit fast. So I'm going to do a 10 meter circle right here. Great. Oh, you know, he's still a little fast. So I'm going to do another 10 meter circle. Oh, that's better. Going to give him a little pat, and then going to continue down the long side. And when I get to the next corner, I'm going to halt. I'm going to stand there for two breaths. So something like that. It might start to feel like, okay, and now I feel myself getting a little worried. So I'm going to go sit in the shade for a second. I'm going to think about what else I could do, blah, blah, blah. So that's how it might sound. And it can be really fun. I mean, I tend to do this often with my horses. I'll do it with an upper level horse when, you know, if I'm doing upper level movements and maybe I'm practicing putting things together, you know, closer together, where I have to really be sharp and I can't be like thinking about something that just happened. I have to think about what's next. I'll just keep going. I'll be like, okay, well, all right, that change felt late. I'm now just going to reorganize. I'm going to keep going. And I think now I'll just do a serpentine of four loops. so I can really think about the straightness and getting things on time. Great. That was good. Now I can, you know, so you just, it can be very advanced. Like you can, it doesn't mean you're a beginner or something's wrong with you if you have to do this. So I'll often do this just to stay in that moment and practice thinking quickly. And if I feel myself going, okay, well, that didn't really work. And then I go, oh, I need a transition to the halt for a second because I'm not sure what to do next. And if you're not sure what to do next, you need to stop. So, I mean, you could stop or you could go, okay, I'm going to just do a circle here until I figure out what I'm going to do next. Okay, yeah, you know, I think I'll do a shoulder in down the long side and get them a little more engaged and supple feeling. And then I'm going to, you know, try that line of flying changes again. All right. So that would be an example of narrating as you go. So, I mean, I started talking about if it's fearful, but then I just went on to just being clear. But anyway, they're all connected. On if you're feeling fear, you definitely need to be, well, we always need to be clear, but that definitely helps with a fearful student. But again, don't not use it if you're advanced. All right, I went off on a tangent. You guys get it. All right, I'm back. So another example that I said was if you're distracted, so you or a student is distracted, so that could be at a show, it could just be simply in a new environment, it could be stuff going on in your normal environment, it could be certain people come up and they're standing on the rail or they're in the area and you're now feeling self-conscious, right? You're distracted. What are they thinking? What are they doing? What might they do? What was happening at work? What do I have to do after I get off? You know, anything like that where your mind is just kind of bouncing around. Now, if you're in a situation where you're like at a show in a warm-up arena, or maybe some people came up to the arena and they're making you nervous because you know they're all like judgy and on Facebook, or you think that they might be, maybe they're not even paying attention to you, who knows, but you're feeling that, you might not want to just start narrating out loud. That might make you feel even more self-conscious, but you can still do this practice of narrating to yourself. You can do it under your breath. You can do it softly. And I still recommend doing it softly so that you get the breathing effect with it. And you'd be amazed at how much you can do softly and at the other end of the arena or loudly enough in your mind that it almost feels like it's coming out of your mouth, but it's not. So you can do this, the world's softest version of this, but it will still help. And so that will sound just like the narration for anything else. It'll just sound like, you know, what's happening now? This feels great. So now I'm going to do this. Okay. That was a little bit, wow, that was a little tight on that inside rein. I felt some brace. Okay. So now I'm going to do a circle. And next time I do the shoulder in, I'm going to really see if I can be soft on that inside rein. Oh, it's still being a little tight. So I think I'm going to go to the walk. I'm going to just stand for a loose rein for a second. I wonder what I could do, you know, and then, okay, let me try this. And so it's the stuff that's going on in our head. Just do it out loud. I think when we're riding well, there is this same narration going on. We're thinking this, or that even if it's subconscious, like there's this narration, there's some part of our brain going, I'm riding what's happening now, and I'm thinking about what I'm doing next, because most of us don't just randomly crash because we forget what we're doing. I want to tell you about a brand new online course that I have, and I'm really excited about it. It's called How to Create a Happy Athlete, and it's based on the Happy Athlete Training Scale, which is a proven framework for ethical training that prioritizes your horse's well-being as you move up the levels. If you're the kind of person who loses sleep worrying about how to keep your horse happy and still advance, then you're not oversensitive. You're just really aware, and it means you care, And those are actually superpowers. The reality is you don't have to choose between results and your relationship. You just need to know how to prioritize. So it's about being strategic and having a blueprint to guide you. And that's what the How to Create a Happy Athlete course does. Gives you that framework, and then it shares key exercises. You'll get theory, demonstration, and you'll see me coaching riders through those exercises for their first time. It's really the ideal starting point for anyone of any discipline. It's actually my most concise, powerful, and least expensive online course. So if you've been wanting to learn more from me and you haven't been sure like exactly where to start, this is it. Now, if you're already studying Dressage Naturally, you're going to love adding this to your library. Because you're a listener of the pod, you get the special Friend of Dressage Naturally special crazy discount. You can save more than 50% on the course. So go to go.dressagenaturally.net/hats, as in HATS, Happy Athlete Training Scale. So again, that's go.dressagenaturally.net/HATS, and I'll leave the link in the show notes. So again, go.dressagenaturally.net/HATS. Use code HATS100 to get it for $97. All right, back to the pod. So just taking it to the conscious level is super, super helpful. You can hear it. And mostly it doesn't let your mind forget to do it. Because sometimes if it's always subconscious and then you get in a challenging situation and you're not aware of this narration that's going on subconsciously, it can sneak away and go play with other toys. And you're like, wait, why is nothing working? Oh, yeah. The narrator left the building. So we want to bring the narrator back in and be conscious and play with it. So I hope you have fun with that. I did do a little Google search about, you know, what's the role of a narrator? I always think it's interesting if I start using a term, I'm like, well, what would Google say about this if I just Googled it? And what came up was kind of cool. So it said key roles and functions of the narrator. And one of the things it said is the role of the narrator is to tell a story, shaping how events, characters, and the overall narrative are perceived. So I thought that was really applicable, right? So we're telling our story, we're shaping how the events, the characters, you, the horse, and the overall narrative are perceived. And for sure, narrating can change that, especially with the frozen person or the person who gets unclear and can't remember what to do next, right? How is your horse perceiving that communication of a muddled, tight, frozen brain or a brain that's ping-ponging all over the place versus the narration? They're going to perceive that story that's unfolding much differently with a clear narrative. And then it also said the narrator's role includes influencing the emotional tone. Pretty cool. That's what we were talking about. It establishes the point of view. The narrator determines the perspective from which the story is told. Totally cool. So is the story being told from our little self-conscious, frustrated monkey brains? Oh, this never works and the horse is fighting me, blah, 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 blah. Or is the narrator saying, okay, well, that didn't work. And so now I'm going to do this and then I'll try that. And I'm going to sit and think. It's a, you know, is it told from a perspective of unconscious frustration and fear and anxiety and tension? Or is the narrator going to be clear and calm and thoughtful and in the present moment? And it also said, you know, it establishes the tone and the mood. The narrator's voice and style can significantly affect the story's emotional tone and atmosphere, right? So think of what our minds can be doing if we're not conscious of it. And the what is our little narration voice saying if we don't wrangle it, right? Like, oh, you dumb dumb, like you always mess that up. Why can't you do that again? Like, that's a certain tone and mood versus a narrator who can calmly describe, well, I did this and that didn't work, and that was clear that that didn't work, and now I'm going to try again and it's still not working, and I'm going to wait for it, and here's what I'm feeling for, and there, that worked better. Did you see that? Anyway, I hope that helps and you have fun with it, and let me know how it goes. If this episode resonates with you, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Training horses is a long game. The more you listen, the more pieces of the puzzle you'll have. To see all your learning resources, visit dressagenaturally.net. That's where you'll find free videos, online courses, my book. You can sign up for my Wednesday Wisdom email or even book a private consult. Most of all, remember, you got this. Never underestimate the possibility for things to improve in ways you cannot yet imagine. Till next time, love your horse, move in harmony, and enjoy the process.